2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read just maybe three verses. Verse number 16, beginning in verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul is writing to Timothy, and this last chapter, as we read about it, you know, Paul is talking to Timothy, and I believe that he's trying to encourage him that there's going to be days of great discouragement for Timothy. There's going to be days of falling away, days that people are not interested in hearing the Word of God. And Paul comes to this. Paul is a man, verse number five, Paul is a man that has endured great afflictions, has come down to verse number six, ready to be offered. Paul is going to be killed. Paul is going to be martyred. He's going to be killed, whether with a sword taking his head off, a guillotine taking his head off, however that may have happened. Paul is encouraging Timothy, you endure and you stay with this and make full proof of your ministry. I've finished my course. Timothy, my work is right at being done. And Paul is not afraid to die. He's not, he says, and as we hinted to a few minutes ago in Philippians, he was in a great strait, having a desire to depart and to be with the Lord, which is far better. But you know, I'd like to think about that. Are we afraid to die? Paul is not afraid to die. I'd like to read down through this real quickly and lightly. Verse 7, Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not only for me, but for all them that love his appearing. You know, if you can love his appearing, I say this, there's no fear to die. If you would desire for the Lord to come, I believe there's a lot of folks that like for the Lord to come to get them out of their situation. But I would say this, without a genuine faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you better fear death, because the worst is yet to come. If I was today before a firing squad, if I was today at 90 pounds battling with cancer, I am far better off than I am to leave this world and not have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. Just a little down through here. Do thy diligence to come unto me. How is Paul feeling? I tell you, Paul is alone. Paul is very, very much alone. And Paul is not the only one alone. I believe in this world today there is many people that are alone. And they feel that. They feel that being alone. Paul says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him. You know, there was a time that Paul said, I'm not going with him. He and Barnabas had a disagreement, didn't they? Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, Paul said, no. No, he's not going. What happened with John Mark? When it come time to go to the work, John Mark went back. But you know, Paul had forgiven him, hadn't he? You see that? You see how that Paul come down to the end of the way, and Paul forgave John Mark and saw his value. The cloak I left at Troas, Tychicus is with me. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, and we've read about that before. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander, I'd like for you to notice, I want you to notice between verse number 14, 15 and verse number 16. Be mindful of this. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Verse 15, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. So I don't see any forgiveness here towards Alexander the coppersmith. Timothy is being warned. Be warned, Timothy, of this man. Look at the last of verse number 15. He hath greatly withstood what? Our preaching, the gospel. Look at verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me. All forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Can you see the difference in this? The failure toward Paul was forgiven. The rejection toward the Word of God. Paul is asking God to reward him according to his works. If you're going to withstand the Word of God, there's going to be a repercussion of that. There's going to be a end result, a reward from God for that. You know, if you reject me, that would be one thing. And Paul even says, as Stephen said, as the Lord Jesus said, God forgive them. They've rejected me. When they rejected Stephen, you know, Stephen asked for them to be forgiven. When they rejected Jesus on the cross, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. When all men forsook Paul at his first answer, Paul asked them to be forgiven for that. But when we reject the Word of God, is there any forgiveness for that?
No.
So, let's think on verse 16, 17, 18. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray, God, that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Now you think where Paul is. He's come down to death. He's come down to the place that he is soon to die. And Paul is going back and remembering how that all men forsook him, how that nobody stood with him, how that there he was alone, and he calls to remembrance how that God stood with him. You know, we may need to remember how that God has been there when nobody else could, when nobody else would, when nobody else felt that need, when everybody else was fearful, when everybody else fled away, the Lord was still there. Now remember that Paul is not looking at today. Paul is looking back to when he first stood before the emperor.
Right.
How that Paul, in his first answer, nobody was there. You know, sometimes we need to remember how God has been there. You and I may get to a place and we feel that everybody's forsaken us. We may, and the honest to God truth is, We're going to come to the place that nobody can be there. We're going to come to the place that we feel like we're left alone. We're going to come to the place that we may have to be left alone. We may come to the place that you and I, we have gone as far as we're able to go with our loved one, with our family, with our friend, with our children, with our husband, with our wife. We may come to the place that we are unable to go any farther with them. We surely, surely need something that we can rely on, someone that we can trust in, someone that we can put our faith in, because surely we are coming to that day. Paul has come to a day by his own testimony to Timothy as he writes this, "Timothy, I would love if you could come quickly, come to me. All have forsaken me. The only one that is left with me is Luke. Notwithstanding, when I stood before Caesar the first time, everyone forsook me. I didn't even have Luke then. I was all by myself. No one stood with me." But you know, I think about the scripture when he stood before Agrippa, Maybe Agrippa, he said this, "I think myself happy, O King Agrippa. I shall answer for myself today." You know, there's coming a day that you're going to stand by yourself. You're going to be by yourself. All, as Clark was saying here earlier, all of our earthly ties, they're all going to be laid aside. We're going to have to stand before God on our own. Listen to Paul. Notwithstanding, I believe Paul is encouraging himself in the Lord. I believe Paul is calling to mind, "Timothy, you may not make it. You may not be able to get here, Timothy, and bring the parchments. You may not be able to make it and bring the cloak. And it may be that Luke is separated from me as well. But I do remember this. I remember when I stood the first time and all men forsook me. I do remember that the Lord stood with me. Notwithstanding everybody forsook me, I remember that the Lord was there and stood with me." I believe that we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Time and time again, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And listen, if you don't have any experiences, I'm not talking about God delivered me from some financial situation. I'm not talking about God come through when I was under the knife in surgery. I'm talking about God delivering a man and a woman's soul. I'm talking about being delivered, a friend, in the inner man. I'm talking about having a delivery when you feel like that the whole world and everything in it has forsaken you and there is no hope, and you look. I tell you, friend, I believe that men and women can get to the place that it looks like that the whole world has collapsed round about them and they have no hope. But Paul said, "Notwithstanding, though they all forsook me, the Lord stood with me." The Lord was there. The Lord, he says it like this, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." Not only, I believe you could say this, the presence of the Lord was there. When everybody else, isn't that wonderful to think this, folks? And I believe this is a great problem in a lot of ways. As long as I got these folks, as long as I've got this one, as long as I've got these, as long as I've got my family, Paul had no one. Your greatest help will be when there is no one, no one to help you, is when you will find your greatest help and your greatest strength.
Right.
When all other, Paul said there on the sea, when all hope that we should be saved was taken away, then, what happened then? I tell you, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Paul and said, Paul, don't fear. Don't fear, Paul. You're going to be delivered, and all these 276 souls are going to make it. There's not one person going to die, but I'm going to give you all of them. So, you know, I believe that it'd be a great thing for us to lay aside every other alternative. I believe so many times we've always got an alternative plan, don't we? But Paul had no alternative. There was no one to stand with him, no one to answer for him, no one to help him, no one to strengthen him. And Paul said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Thank God for the presence of the Lord to be there when everybody else forsakes, when everybody else is gone, when there's no one else to find any encouragement in, when David was there and his own men that was by his side that fought with him and he fought with them, they spake of stoning him. David had to find somewhere that he could be encouraged, someone where he could get some help, someone that could strengthen him. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Thank God for the presence of God when no one else can be there. You may not be there today. You may be there soon. I may be there soon. Thank God that Paul can look back. Where's Paul going? I tell you, Paul's going to a place Luke can't go. If Timothy makes it, he can't go. Paul is going to a place of eternal separation from everything that's worldly. I wish today that you would honestly consider that you are going to be separated eternally from everything that you have ever known in this world. Ponder on that a minute. I am soon going to leave and be separated forever from everything that I have ever known earthly.
That's right.
That ought to be sobering. That ought to be a sobering thought. I think that's why so many people are fearful. People can't even talk about it. People can't talk about with their families making their funeral arrangements. People can't talk about that. Why is that? The fear. We better have something beyond this, hadn't we? Should we not have something? Do we have the promise of eternal life? We have that promise of eternal life through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would say this. Not only do I have the promise, but I have the confirmation of it through the indwelling Spirit of God living in my heart. If I have not the Spirit of God in my heart, I have no confirmation and I have no promise of life after this.
That's right.
All that I have after this is eternal death, separated in the region of the damned. Paul said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He says this in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 12. I thank God, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. What vision do you think the Apostle Paul had of the ministry? I don't believe he had one clue of what he was going to endure. But the Bible said this, as he writes 1 Timothy 54, 55 A.D., Paul's probably been saved for 15, 20, 25 years. You know what he said? God strengthened me. Enabled, it means to make more strength, to give more strength, to make strong. Paul said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me, what kind of strength is this? Paul said in the book of Philippians, Paul says there, as you read about him, and you know this verse probably very well. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How did Paul endure? I tell you, he endured by God making him strong. He endured by God strengthening him. And Paul writes to the church at Ephesus that I bow on my knees praying that God, that you might be strengthened in the inner man. Where was Paul's strength? Was it in the outward man? I don't believe that it was in the outward man. I believe that Paul's strength was in the inward man, and that inward man is strengthened by the Word of God. That inward man is strengthened by the presence of the Lord. That inward man is made strong by the Spirit and the power of God, by the promises of the Word of God. Paul is looking back and writing a letter to Timothy, recalling what God did for him the first time he stood before the emperor, and recalling how that the Lord stood with him, how the Lord strengthened him, how the Lord had a purpose, a friend, for the gospel to go out. Paul is remembering that as he faces death now. The Lord, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me. So I just like for you to think what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. What kind of shape is Paul in? 2 Corinthians, Paul writes the letter. Now this is in 60 A.D. So Paul writes this letter, and Paul says, brethren, verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came unto us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Do you have the sentence of death in you? You do. I believe we could see that in two ways here as Paul writes to the Corinthians. It looked as though all of the people in Asia were going to kill Paul. It looked as though all of the places that he visited, if there was any Jews there, their desire was to kill Paul. But every one of us have the sentence of death in us. We've got that. But you know what Paul said? Though we had the sentence of death in us, but God, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. What's Paul looking to? But that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. What's Paul looking to? As he wrote to the Corinthian church, he's writing to Timothy, and he said, Timothy, that God that stood with me when I stood the first time, that God, when I wrote to the Corinthians, while I was in Asia, while I was down at Philippi, while I was over at Antioch, while they stoned me, While they beat me, while they tried to kill me, I looked to the one that is able to raise the dead. Timothy, I was looking beyond me. I was looking beyond my flesh. I was looking beyond the extent of how far man can go. And I was looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to raise man from the dead. And my trust is in Him. He hath delivered me. He is delivering me. And He will deliver me. Thank God for a deliverance that is past, present, and future through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're going to face death. Not long, not far away. It may be sudden, it may be quite prolonged. But we're going to face death. Paul is facing death. And as he writes this to Timothy, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me, Timothy. I remember. I believe that's what he's saying in his mind as he's writing this letter. As he's writing this, and Timothy, everybody's forsaken me. Timothy, there's come a day that they don't want to hear the gospel. There's coming a day, Timothy, when they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to hear something new. They want to hear something pleasing to the flesh. They don't want to hear that man needs salvation, how that man needs to be turned and changed, and man needs to be filled with the Spirit. No, Timothy, they don't want to hear that. But I want you to know this, Timothy. You endure the afflictions. You stay with it, Timothy. I know that everybody may forsake you, but I do remember this, how God stood with me when everybody forsook me. I remember that. You think, and I don't mean for us this to be our sole reliance. But wouldn't it be good for us to have some experiences where God showed Himself to be God on our behalf, that we could remember, that we... Now listen, I believe we've got this down right here for us to be helped by another man's experience. By another man being forsaken by friends, by... If there was any family by family, you can get to the place where people can't get to you. You can get to the place where you're unable to be approached by the rest of mankind. But you can never get to a place where God is unable to come where you are. What's the goal here? Paul says this, that by me the preaching might be fully known. What's Paul's goal? As our brother said this morning and Friday night, why did God create us? Was there a purpose? Is there a purpose for you to be in this world today? We were made by Him and for Him. So what is our purpose? What is the purpose? What is God? Why does God have us here? Would you say this? That the purpose for us being here is for His own glory, honor, and praise. To exalt and to glorify the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to exalt God the Father, to exalt God the Holy Spirit. Paul says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be made fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. Where is Paul? My God, what a journey. What a journey. I mean, he goes to Jerusalem. There they try to kill him. There they want to get rid of him. He goes to Agrippa. He goes to Felix. He goes to Festus. He gets on a ship and goes across the ocean. He's on the Isle of Melita. A friend, they're shipwrecked. He's there for 3 months. He is going to Rome, and he ends up in Caesar's palace. For what? For this very purpose. Now, could we say all right here means all of the world? No, I don't believe we can. I don't believe we can say all means all of the world. That the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. Where was he? You talk about in the midst of a bunch of Gentiles. Here is Paul at Caesar's court. Caesar himself being the greatest Gentile, the greatest unbeliever. All of his hierarchy, all of his government officials, all of those are gathered there at the courtroom. All of those are gathered there to hear Paul's case, to hear the argument. Friend, and through that situation that God brought him to, all the Gentiles have been made, fully made known the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we here? Why are we where we are today? What is God's purpose for where you are today? Would you say this? It looks as though God has forsaken them. When Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, the Bible said that it looked to the men, it looked to the people hanging around, it looked to those that were there railing, and we could read it also in the book of Isaiah, not only their railing in the Gospels, but we could read it in Isaiah, it looked as though God forsook him, doesn't it? It looks as though God forsook Paul, doesn't it? He's not forsaken, though. Thank God the Lord stood with him. The Lord's presence was there. Can you imagine what preaching was going on? Not only in the day maybe that he was brought before Caesar, but all of that time that he was there. He was there for 2 full years. Am I right about that? 2 full years. He was held there in his own hired house, there with Caesar's guards around him. Can you imagine the preaching that Paul did in the situation that he was in? Nobody there. Everybody forsook him. What are we relying on? What are we trusting in? All men forsook me, strengthened me. The Lord stood with me, strengthened me, by me. That, here's the purpose, that the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. Back to Philippians for just a moment, chapter number 1, verse number 12. I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. I'll tell you this, folks. You get into great trouble. You get into great calamity. You get into great strait. You get in a place where it looks like that all hope is gone. Right there is God's opportunity for His Word and His servant to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. What about that? In all the palace, in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds. What do you think the next few words is going to say? Are much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. What was it that they saw in the Apostle Paul that gave them boldness and brought them to the place that they did not fear? Well, it certainly wasn't his friends and family with him, was it? It wasn't that the majority was on his side, was it? It wasn't that his group was greatly outnumbering the rest, was it? No, the only hope that there was, as Larry said, the Lord, the presence of the Lord was with him. And friend, I say this, that Job could not die. Job was unable to die, wanted to die, desired to die, but God would not let Job die, neither would he let Paul die. And you know why that was? They could not die that. that the preaching of the gospel might be fully known, that the Gentiles might hear the word of God. Paul is not going to die because God has a purpose in him being there. Job is not going to give up and die. Job is not going to curse God and die. God is going to write the whole book. God's going to pin down 42 chapters in the book of Job, and we're going to hear the end of the story. What's the end of our story? Paul's making the Word of God known. And you know what's going on? I'll tell you, there's other people that are encouraged because Paul did not give up. There's other people that are made bold. There are other people that are strengthened. There are other people that are going to stand for the Word of God and believe because God saw this man through. God saw that man through. I say unto you, what about those three Hebrew children? Our friend, who stood with them? There was nobody standing with them. There was no one else that stood up. There was nobody else. Everybody else bowed down. But I tell you, they stood up. You know why they stood up? That the king, that the palace, that Nebuchadnezzar, that Babylon, that the word of God, that the word of the governor, that the word of the king would be changed. They stood up, and I'll tell you, through what they did, the Lord Jesus Christ was exalted and shown to be in the flame with them, and others were encouraged because of what they did. God help us today. Paul's getting ready to die. He's encouraging himself in how God has been so faithful.
Right.
How God had a purpose. What's the purpose? The Word of God might go out. That the Word of God, listen to what the Lord says. I tell you, God had a purpose and God had a plan from the beginning. Where is the beginning? Where was the beginning for the Apostle Paul? You might say the Damascus Road. I'm going to disagree. I'm going to disagree greatly. The Lord said to Ananias, "Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." I tell you, God had a plan before the foundation of the world for the Apostle Paul. God had a plan. And friend, God had a plan from before the foundation of the world for you. I wonder, are we fulfilling the plan of God? And you might say, well, the Lord can do it whether I do or not. No, He worketh all things. Not one thing, not the end result. All things leading up to God Almighty was in the Paul getting to stand before Caesar, was he not? Was he not in that? Was he not led by the Spirit? Was he not moved in the Spirit? Standing on the shores at Ephesus, did he not say when Philip's three daughters said, this man's going to die, this man's going to be bound, I'm going to take this cloak, I'm going to bind it, I'm going to tie it up. He said, this man is going to be bound at Jerusalem. He said, none of these things move me that I might finish the plan of God. What's the plan? That by me. Well, it could have come by somebody else. That wasn't God's plan. God's plan is that by me. God worketh all things. If there's an end, there's a means to get to the end. If Timothy is going to get a letter, there is a means for Timothy to get a letter. If Timothy's going to be encouraged, I tell you, Paul was discouraged, and Paul was down and out, and Paul was by himself, and Paul was forsaken by everyone. But you know what he remembered? He remembered that the Lord stood with him. He remembered how the Lord strengthened him. He remembered how God gave him more power. He remembered how God was there. He remembered his purpose. That all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. What does that mean? Paul's looking back and he remembers he was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Well, you could say, well, he was delivered from the lions. But I'll say this, I don't believe that'll work at all. Paul was a Roman citizen. He could not be thrown to the lions. Got to X that off. That won't work. Well, he's delivered from Caesar. Well, that might be possible. That might be probable. But you know, really what the desire is, is the desire of the devil to stop the gospel.
Yeah.
Isn't that who's behind stopping the gospel? Are not God and the devil enemies one of another?
Right.
And since the devil can't get to God, what does he use? He persecutes the children of that woman, doesn't he? Isn't that who he's trying to kill? Isn't that who he's trying to stop? Isn't that who he's trying to discourage? Isn't that who he's trying to put off and let you get your eyes and your focus on the things of the world? Isn't it his job that you don't really focus upon the purpose that God saved you? Isn't that true? Is that not what he does all the time? Does he not put the things of this world in front of the things of God? Does he not put the family, the things of this world? Does he not put the family? Does he not put, friend, the fleshly desires? Does he not put relaxation? Does he not put the job? Does he not put the money? Does he not put all of those things in front of the real purpose of God saving you? He does, doesn't he? Doesn't he do that over and over again?
Sure.
I tell you what Paul's delivered from. Paul's delivered from the mouth of the lion. Paul is delivered. He's delivered from the mouth of the lion that the word of God would go out. He's delivered from the mouth of the lion that God might be exalted. That even right here, it looks like he's got the sentence of death. It looks like he's going to die. It looks like at his first appearance, there's no hope for the Apostle Paul. Looks like, buddy, you've sown your, made your bed. Now you're going to have to lie in it. You're going to have to die. God said, no. No, I've got a purpose for you. Elijah said, Lord, let me die. He didn't want to die. If he wanted to die, he'd have stayed up there at Carmel or stayed there at Jerusalem, wouldn't he? If he didn't want to die, when he got back to the city, when Jezebel sent him word, if he wanted to die, he'd have stayed there.
Right.
He didn't want to die. He was on a pity party. He was feeling sorry for himself. And the honest to God truth is that can happen to anyone and every one of us. From a spiritual high to dragging the bottom and dragging our own tracks out from one moment to the next. A friend of what? Because of what happens earthly. God said, I got something else for you to do, Elijah. And listen, by the way, Elijah, I realize, and I believe we need to realize, I realize you don't know it. I realize you can't see it. I realize you think you're all alone and nobody else is in the world that's got any use for God. I know this, Elijah. I've got 7,000 that's never bowed the knee to Baal.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He went on and did his work. God wasn't done, was he? And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Thank God. And the Lord, he's encouraging himself. And the Lord shall deliver me. Now listen. He said, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. I'm going to have a final deliverance one day from sin. I'm going to have a final deliverance one day from the flesh. I'm going to have a final deliverance one day from the devil and from this world and from the ungodliness and the ungodly thoughts and the ungodly actions. I'm going to be delivered one day. I'm going to be delivered from every evil work. Paul is not saying I'm going to be delivered from death. He has no fear of death. He's not fearful of death. He said, the Lord delivered me the first time. Past tense. You see that in verse 17? Isn't that true? Verse 17 is a past experience. Verse number 18. And the Lord shall. Here's future, isn't it? And the Lord shall. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. So am I going to be delivered? Paul said this. Paul said, who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Here's my problem. And I'm not talking about material. I'm not talking about the flesh per se. I'm talking about the thoughts and the action and the desires of the flesh. I'm talking about that one day I shall be delivered. Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What was Paul wanting to do? I tell you, he went on to write into that eighth chapter. What was he looking for? To wit, the redemption of the body. Paul was going to be delivered. Paul is writing here to Timothy. Timothy, know this. I'm going to be delivered from every evil work. Timothy, I am going to be delivered. And listen, death, ladies and gentlemen, death is not our enemy. If you're unsaved, death is your, I don't know how to say it, primary or secondary. Really, secondary. That's your secondary enemy. But I tell you, the real enemy is the wrath of God.
Right.
Because for a child of God, death is an exodus. Death is a deliverance. Death is an escape from spiritual Pharaoh. Death is an escape from being a slave. Death is an escape, ladies and gentlemen, from this world and all of the ungodliness in it. Death is a deliverance. Paul said to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord.
Right?
Isn't that right? Why are you fearful of death? Why are you afraid to die? I tell you, there's a conqueror. There is a conqueror. Are you in Him and He in you? Are you a conqueror over death? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are made more than conquerors. Thank God, more than conquerors. You know this, friend. I read in the Word of God in Romans chapter 8. He said this, who shall separate me? Who shall separate me from the love of God? Shall angels or principalities or things present or things seen to come, things seen, things unseen, shall life or death or any other creature separate me from the love of God? No, ma'am, and no, sir. I tell you what death will do. Death will bring me into the 100% presence of God.
That's right.
I'm limited today. Right. I'm limited today by the veil. I'm limited of coming into the holiest of holies, a friend, by the veil of my own flesh. But Jesus died on the cross. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain that you and I could come to God.
True.
This is what he says. He says to us, and the Lord shall deliver me. The Lord shall deliver me. Are we going to be delivered? Listen to Paul. back to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. What does Paul say here? For me to live is Christ. That's his life. What's your life? I tell you what, I hear it. I mean, I've even heard it. My life is my husband. My life is my wife. My life is my job. My life is my children. You're going to be separated from all of them. Your wife, your husband, your children, your job, your money, your health. You're going to lose it all. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die. Could this be true? Could this be true? This has got to be a misprint, a misunderstanding, a misquotation, a mistranslation. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For if I live, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. I don't know what to choose. For I'm in a great strait. I'm in a wrestling match between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul said, I desire to die. Would you say in the flesh, it would have been better for Paul to have died at his first appearance before Caesar?
Yeah.
Been better for him, wouldn't it?
Sure.
Been better. What all did he endure after that? How many beatings, how much trouble, how much sorrow, how much heartbreak, how much heartbreak that Demas left him. How much heartbreak that a man that at some point he probably had confidence in. We've got one other writing of him in the New Testament. And this man has loved the present world and departed from him. Look around you today, folks. Look around you today and see how many Demases there are in this world today. I'm talking about the Christian, so-called Christian world. How many Demases are there today? How many have forsaken the house of God? How many have forsaken the Apostle Paul? How many have forsaken the gospel that he preached? How many have forsaken the Lord Jesus Christ that he proclaimed? How many have went away? But Paul says this, I know that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But he said, I'm in this great strait, having a desire to depart, which is far better. Can we believe that? I say this, if you're saved, it'll be far better for you to leave this world and to go be with the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Far better. You know what I have there? I have a hope. I have a hope that word is true. I'm going to say it like this. I'm persuaded that word is true. I have a certain expectation that word is true. The Holy Spirit will bear witness that word is true. I believe that word was written down by the Holy Spirit of God as Paul was moved on by the Spirit of God to write that down to encourage you and to encourage me and to encourage a young man named Timothy.
Right. Amen.
Are you ready to die? Will it be far better if we get a call this afternoon that you have died? Can the church believe honestly? Not because of your relationship, not because of whose son or daughter or wife or husband or sister or brother, not because of that relationship, but can we see today, could the church have a confidence today by the witness of the Holy Spirit of God that you are far better? So many family members that are so deceived that their loved one who died 40 years after they made a profession never been back to the house of God, died a drunk, died an adulterer, died shacked up, died a thief, died an extortioner, died with no repentance, died with no forgiveness, and they say to me they're better off. I'll ask you this. Would you weigh it up like this? If you are better off, then for you to live is Christ. There's no way that you can be better off when you die unless first you to live is Christ. The second part of that cannot be true unless the first part of that be true as well. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But you know what Paul said? I'm in a great strait betwixt two. Having a desire, now listen, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. What was Paul going to have to do to go be with Christ? Unless there's another situation like Enoch and Elijah. He's going to have to die, isn't he? I'm in a great strait. Having a desire to die, having a desire to depart, which is and be with Christ, which is far better. Could I ask you this? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, is Christ with him? Amen, he is. Christ has not forsaken him. Christ has not left him alone. Though all others may forsake you, Peter said, Lord, they may all forsake you, but I, Lord. They may all deny you, but I, Lord. But he did.
That's right.
When the Lord says that, does he mean it? Can he carry through? I believe Peter meant it when he said it. But when the pressure came, he could not do what he said. The Lord Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world, to the end of the age. I'll be with you. To the church, I believe it was the church of Smyrna, I believe. He said, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have persecution 10 days. You're going to be delivered. Paul's getting ready to be delivered. You know, it looks like, man, he has bombed out. It's over. Praise God. Listen to what I'm reading to you today. I'm reading the writing of a man that is still speaking. I'm reading of the writing of a man who God used in his ministry to speak to us some almost 2,000 years after his death. We are still hearing about the ministry and the life and the suffering and the persecution and of the faith and of confidence and the hope that a man named the Apostle Paul had in the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath delivered me. He shall deliver me. I'll tell you, thank God for a God that's able, that even death cannot separate me. Death, folks, is going to bring me to the fruition of what God saved me for. You might want to spit that out, but just think with me for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope. Thank God I've not got a dead hope. I've got a resurrected Savior. I've got a Savior who was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary for me, laid in a tomb, had a spear run under his ribs and up into his heart. There forthwith came blood and water, was buried in the tomb, and 3 days he was there. On Sunday morning arose from the dead. Thank God I've been begotten to a lively hope. A lively, certain expectation.
That's true.
Begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection. You see that word begotten? What does that mean? To bring into being. Isn't that right? Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Esau and Jacob. Right? You and I were begotten by God. We were brought into being by God. We were brought into being by God, not to a dead hope, but to a lively hope. Paul said, Timothy, I'm getting ready to be offered. I'm getting ready to be poured out. Timothy, I'm getting ready to pour my life out. I've been pouring it out all along, and it looks like I've come down to the end of the way. But I do know this. I know that God hath delivered me, and God shall deliver me from every evil work. As Clark mentioned, the crucifixion on the horizontal, that was an evil thing, wasn't it? They murdered a man. They murdered a man who was innocent. They murdered the Son of God. They murdered a man who the king and the governor could not find any fault in. That was an evil, evil work. I agree with what our brother said. Evil's not a thing. Evil, ladies and gentlemen, is the sinful actions of humanity. But was that the plan of God? Could they get away from the evil? Could they get away from the murder? Could they get away from crucifying an innocent man? They could not get away from that. But in the plan of God, God took that evil that was the sinful actions of mankind, and God meant that to be salvation for you and I. Paul said, I've been laboring, I've been fighting, I've been working. And Timothy, I'm going to be delivered. I shall be delivered, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So there is an inheritance that I have not yet come into yet.
That's right.
He's already died. The inheritance is there. And I'm not going to get it till I die. Can you see that? What about having a lively hope? That when you die, the best is yet to come.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that wonderful? To an inheritance that fadeth not away, it's perpetual, reserved, so there's a guard around it, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Am I saved? Thank God I am saved. Honest to God, I'm saved to the uttermost. But I have not yet received the end and the fruition and the completeness of my salvation. I have a salvation that is still yet to be revealed. Kept by the power of God. Kept Rejoice now for who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Listen now. Wherein you greatly rejoice. What do I have to do? Verse number 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. Who put Paul down at Caesar's the second time to die? God did. Know this, though right now we may be in trouble, right now we may be in sorrow, right now we may be in affliction, right now we're in a world of continual turmoil and fighting against us, right now we have fightings within and without. But know this, go back one verse. Though right now we may be in manifold temptations and in fiery trials, know this, back one verse, I have a salvation yet to be revealed, kept in heaven for me.
Amen. Amen.
So is that all? Just another word or two, and I'll hush. Goodness, I'm sorry. Just another word. And will preserve me. Who's taking care of us? Who's causing us to persevere? Who is it that is giving us the strength? Unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. We'd love to deal some more with this right here. All the praise, all the honor, all the glory goes to God through the Lord Jesus Christ by the preservation of His presence, by His Spirit, by His power, by His Word, by the examples, by the apostles, by the Word of God. We're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. God help us to stay the course.
Amen.
Heavenly kingdom, not of this earth. Not of this flesh, not of this world, an eternal kingdom, an everlasting, a kingdom where God is, a kingdom to be in the presence of God daily, no sin, no distraction, no devil, no nothing to hinder me and keep me from an enjoying. And you know what the goal will be? I tell you, the goal when I get there will be to praise Him for what He's done.